Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you so much that Jesus, our Savior, has come, that you sent your Son into this world to live a perfect life and to die a sinner's death. Thank you that light has pierced the darkness. Thank you for hope and life and joy that are ours because of Jesus. God, thank you so much for each and every person who is here this evening. Lord, I believe that they are not here on accident. Lord, in your kindness and in your goodness, you allowed each and every person to come, and so we give you thanks. God, as we open up your word, I pray that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to receive your word this evening. God, we love you. We thank you so much that you loved us first. We pray these things in Jesus' name and by your Spirit. Amen. You may have a seat. So good to see you this evening. Well, I have to admit, as a child, Christmas Eve was literally one of my most favorite days of the year. It was full of hope and anticipation. It was full of joy. And it was also sheer torture. It was torture because Christmas was the next day, and the next day felt so far away to me. Honestly, when I thought about Christmas as a kid, I just was pumped because I had this expectation that I was going to get some loot. I had circled some things in the JCPenney catalog. I handed it over to my parents. Come on, JCPenney. I hear you. You know what it was like. I had circled some things in the JCPenney catalog. I handed it off to my parents. And the next day, I expected for some of those presents to be under the tree. Now, in retrospect, was it a little crazy for me to think that somehow receiving a G.I. Joe or a He-Man shield with a plastic sword or a couple packs of Garbage Pail Kids in my stocking would somehow change my life? No, it wasn't crazy at all. I really thought that it was going to be a game changer for me. As I got a little older, I had different expectations, different desires, different wants. I had a desire to receive for Christmas an IOU sweatshirt, perhaps a Z Cavaricci sweatshirt if my parents were going to splurge. And maybe, just maybe, if I were so lucky, I would land a pair of MC Hammer parachute pants. Was it crazy for me to think that a small child who shopped for Husky jeans at JCPenney would actually be accepted with the cool kids if I had those parachute pants? No, it wasn't. No, I had great hopes. I had great expectation. I wanted Christmas to be a game changer. And so what I did was what so many kids before me had done. I waited. And I learned as a child what also has been confirmed as an adult. I absolutely hate waiting. I hate waiting to this day. I hate waiting in traffic. I hate waiting in line. I hate waiting for people. I don't like being pushed inside a sterile room called a waiting room. I hate waiting. And something tells me I'm not the only one. As a matter of fact, I've never met anyone that has said to me, James, do you know what I'm passionate about? Do you know what gets me up in the morning? Waiting. I love to wait. No one has ever said that to me. If you're here this evening, something tells me that, like me, you hate to wait. If you're a high school senior, you're probably waiting to hear from your dream school, and they haven't sent you that letter yet. If you're here this evening and you're single, maybe you're waiting for the man or the woman of your dreams, and you hate waiting. Maybe you're here this evening and you are experiencing a medical difficulty or hardship, and you're waiting for healing. Maybe you're here tonight, and as you reflect back upon this past year, you would arguably say it was one of the worst years of your life, and you're waiting to turn the page on 2024. Something tells me that, like me, you hate waiting. And if we were being honest, we would readily admit that that is a problem, because so much of life is marked by waiting. As a matter of fact, so much of God's story, so much of Scripture is marked by waiting. If you were to start early in God's story in the book of Genesis, you would read a story about a God who created the world and created humanity. Human beings enjoyed a perfect relationship with God and the perfect world that God had made. But something tragic happens in the story. There is an enemy who makes his way into the story and lures and entices humanity. He tempts humanity to live life on their own terms, a life apart from God, life without God. And this world that God created was broken and tarnished. And if you were to read early in the story, you would find that there is little hope for mankind to fix what is broken. But then mercifully, God makes a promise. And that promise is that there will be one who will come who will right the wrongs. Someone who will come who will be a hero to God's story. An individual who will be victorious over the enemy. But for thousands of years, God's people waited. All of the Old Testament scriptures point to the coming of a Savior, a one who will come and restore creation and right the wrongs. All throughout the Old Testament, there are characters that show up on the scene, and the reader thinks, maybe, just maybe, this is the long-awaited Savior. A prophet will come, and the audience thinks, maybe this prophet is the one. And then the more you read the story, the more you realize, no, that's not the one. We're still waiting. Then a priest will come up on the scene and you think to yourself, maybe this priest will be the perfect priest who will offer a once and for all perfect sacrifice. But you continue to read the story and you find out, no, that's not the one. And then you read further in the story and there's a king that rises to the throne and everything within you thinks, maybe, just maybe, this is the one. But no, it's not. And you find yourself waiting for a Savior to come, waiting for a broken world to be restored, waiting for a people to be rescued, waiting for redemption to be realized, waiting for a perfect sacrifice to be offered. And so God's people waited. They waited for a hero to show up, and then one day, the wait was over. Now, there's a man in the New Testament. His name was Paul. We might know him as the Apostle Paul. Apostle means one who has been sent. And Paul has an amazing story. He spent much of his life hating God and hating God's people. He persecuted the church. He hated followers of Jesus. But then something miraculous happened in his life, and his eyes were opened, and he went from persecuting followers of Jesus to encouraging others to become followers of Jesus. One day, the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to a church in a place called Galatia. And in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, the Apostle Paul wrote these words. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. I love that phrase, but when the fullness of time had come. Another way to read it is to simply say, hey, when the wait was over, God sent Jesus. And so at Christmas, we celebrate that the wait is over. An Old Testament prophet by the name of Isaiah wrote some 600 to 700 years before Jesus showed up onto the scene. He wrote these words, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." In the New Testament, there was a physician by the name of Luke. Luke walked with Jesus. He knew Jesus. He was an eyewitness to Jesus. And he put together an account of the life of Christ. And he wrote these words in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Now the wait is over. A Savior has come, and his name is Jesus. For churches around the world, this is the season of Advent. Advent means arrival, and it signifies the start of an event or a person. The person promised in the Old Testament arrived in the New Testament. God's people waited and waited and waited, and then Jesus was born. And when Jesus came to this earth, he did not disappoint. Jesus' life was marked by faithful obedience to his Father. Jesus didn't stumble his way through life like you and I oftentimes do. Jesus lived a perfect life, the life that you and I could never live, and he died the death that we deserve on our behalf. Scripture teaches us that Jesus was buried and he rose again 3 days later, and those who trust in his finished work experience new life. Today we remember the first coming of Jesus, and our hearts are full of gratitude. And simultaneously, there is a deep longing for Jesus to come again, to right the wrongs that oftentimes we experience, to restore and to redeem the world that is broken. But until then, until he comes again, we wait. And let's be honest, nobody likes to wait. I don't, and you don't. Waiting is so frustrating. Waiting feels so passive. Waiting feels defeating. When you wait, you admit that you are not in control, and if we are honest, that bristles against our self-reliant hearts. We hate waiting. When you wait, you admit dependence upon someone or something outside of yourself to come and rescue you. When you wait, you are forced to embrace uncertainty. When you wait, your heart can grow cold. When you wait, you feel helpless and needy. And nobody, I mean nobody, loves to feel helpless and needy. And yet, something else happens when we wait. Something unexpected, something arguably good and beautiful. Yes, waiting can make us feel helpless, but waiting can also be an invitation to intimacy with God. The late author and pastor Tim Keller once said that the first step in accessing intimacy with God is not holiness, it is helplessness. The first step in accessing intimacy with God is not holiness, it is helplessness. For those here this evening wondering if God is real or worth trusting or worthy of following, or even wondering if you are worthy to follow him, I want to remind you that we do not come to God when we get our act together. We don't come to him when we finally get our stuff all cleaned up. We don't come to him when we finally have it all figured out and all of our questions are answered. As a matter of fact, waiting to come to God until you have your act together is like waiting to get well before you go to the doctor, or waiting to have all the answers before attending university, or waiting to get fit before you go to the gym. Instead, we come to God in our helplessness, and he extends to us the very thing that we are so desperate for. He extends to us unmerited favor. He extends to us his grace. That is how it works. That's how it's always worked. There is no other way. The Apostle Paul said, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing." In other words, you didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. You didn't work for it. You didn't jump through spiritual hoops. You didn't get your act together. Instead, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Nobody gets to stick out their chest before God. We have a relationship with God because of God's grace. So to those who are here this evening with questions for God, to those who wrestle with God, to those who doubt God, I can't help but wonder if God is telling you, hey, the wait is over. The wait is over. Come to Jesus. Trust in Jesus. Have faith in Jesus. The gospel writer John says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The wait is over. Come to Jesus. If you're here this evening and you find yourself in a season of waiting, may you wait with hope. The Christian life is lived in between the first coming of Christ some 2,000 years ago and the promise from God's word that Jesus will actually come again. And so all throughout the Bible, there is invitation after invitation to do something audacious and risky and crazy. And the crazy thing that Scripture invites us to do is to do the very thing that oftentimes we don't want to do, which is wait. Psalm 27, verse 14, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Isaiah 40, 31, but those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not grow faint. Lamentations 3:25, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Isaiah 30:18, therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show you mercy. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. Psalm 130, verses 5 and 6, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits in his word, I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning, more than the watchman for the morning. Genesis chapter 49, verse 18, I wait for your salvation, Lord. God's people for centuries, literally for thousands of years, waited for the promised Messiah. They endured years of silence and darkness, clinging to nothing but the promises of God. And then one day, Jesus was finally born in Bethlehem. And he was far greater than anyone could have ever expected. He was not just a king for Israel, but he was a savior for the world, for you and for me. When the wait was over, God sent Jesus. And so tonight, as we wait, may we wait in faith, clinging, trusting in Jesus. I assure you, Jesus is worth the wait. Would you pray with me? Father God, thank you so much for your living and active word. Lord, thank you that you invite us to wait for you. God, I'm so encouraged this evening as I think about the promises that have been fulfilled in Christ. We celebrate the coming of our King and Savior some 2,000 years ago. And God, we long for Jesus to come again. The world that we live in is broken. It's hardwired not to work. And so, Lord, I pray by the power of your Spirit that you would help us to walk with you and cling to you. I pray that you would pour a faith into our hearts tonight. God, if there are folks here this morning or who are watching online at home that do not know you, I pray by the power of your Spirit that you would open their eyes to the beauty of Jesus. God, we love you. We thank you so much for loving us first. We pray these things in Jesus' name and by your Spirit. Amen.